I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Joining me today, Doug Zarkin. Doug's the Chief Marketing Officer at Pearl Vision. Good friend. Great to have you on the show, Doug.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's been an amazing... Let's see, how many years have I known you actually now? Probably, I don't know, probably going on at least more than 5 years.
For sure.
Back at it. But, you know, for everyone that's listening in right now, if you don't know Pearl Vision, you're probably under a rock, but Pearl Vision's one of the largest franchise optical retailers in North America. Doug, you have a very impressive background, and I see you popping up in the news all the time. You were a BrandWeek's marketer of the next generation. You were Cranes New York notables in marketing. Prior, you were over at Kelwood as VP of marketing. And so you were in the fashion world, and you were also at Warnaco or running marketing there. Obviously, first half of your career was really very focused in fashion and apparel. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, your move over to Pearl. I think you've been there now, what,
over a decade.
Well, talk to us about the transformation and the growth of the brand from when you got there and what it is today.
Now, I appreciate the accolades and the upfront, although my dad in Boca still thinks I just make ads for a living. It doesn't matter what awards or what recognition. When he goes out on the golf course with his buddies, I'm sure he still regrets that I didn't finish my law degree.
Well, maybe he's listening to the show right now.
Maybe.
Great stuff that you've done outside of
that. If he did, I'd be really impressed that he finally figured out how to use his iPhone. So good for him. Hey, Dad. You know, I joined Estée Lauder about a decade ago, a little over a decade ago, to take an iconic brand out of what I like to call the friend zone. And for all of you that are single or that at one point in your life were dating, you remember you get fixed up with somebody and your friend would call you the next day and be like, how was it? And you're like, oh, you know, it was nice. They were nice, or, you know, they were cute. But there was nothing compelling, really, that made you want to go on a second date. And when I joined Pearl about 11 years ago, this brand was dead stuck in the friend zone. We had five different brand positionings in 8 years. We had really good awareness, but we didn't have educated awareness. People knew who we were, but they didn't know what we stood for. And for an iconic brand like Pearl that started in 1961 by Dr. Stanley Pearl in Savannah, Georgia, that's a death sentence. Because for all of us in the world of marketing and brand building, it is much easier to build a brand than it is to reposition a brand. And so the journey began. You know, we had to take some steps backwards to take a couple of huge steps forwards. And as you mentioned today, you know, we stand atop a very commoditized category as the number one brand for quality of care. We have a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Google when it comes to doctor quality. We are the 5-time winner of the Women's Choice Award. But all the accolades aside, I think what we've done really well is we've restored the trust between our brand, our owners, our eye care centers, and the communities in which they're located.
Amazing. And so from like a brand perspective, Pearl Vision is part of Luxottica. How are you maneuvering, you know, through the different groups at Luxottica? Because I know you really manage Pearl.
Yeah, I focus entirely on Pearl, and you know, Essilor Luxottica is probably the largest multinational corporation that most people have never heard of. If you've heard of Sunglass Hut and Lens Crafters and Target Optical and Oakley and Ray-Ban and Oliver Peoples, we own all those businesses, all those brands.
I mean, how could you not, right? Everywhere, yeah. You look, right? Whether you're at the airport or you're in a mall, they're there.
You know, and that's wonderful from a share market perspective, but it's incredibly challenging for leaders to try and do what good leaders have to do, which is to maintain swim lanes, maintain distinction. It's one thing to share strategic insights. It's another thing when brands start to bleed on top of each other. And I think the challenge that we have is in continuing to carve out our raison d'etre in the category, both outside of the building and then literally with inside the building as well.
So here's a question for you. And I think this is, you know, being a marketer like yourself, a really kind of reinventing brands and making things sticky. I think this is a great one for what you're doing and what you've done for the last decade. But, you know, when you think about going in and taking an eye exam or talking to eye doctors or getting prescription lenses, it's kind of a fairly mundane experience, I think, in most people's minds. But talk to us about how you've really just, you've leveled up that customer experience in the stores, right? And I think that's thing to be really proud of, because you're taking something that's like, oh, I have to go in and do this, to it's more of an experience.
I appreciate it. And I think the question's a really good one. You know, how do you create distinction in a commoditized category? Right. And it starts with understanding how trust is formed between consumers and brands, in particular in the healthcare services space, which is what we're in when it comes to our eye care. And it really is about appreciating that what a consumer is really looking for is not big deals and discounts. What they're really looking for are small moments of trust throughout their experience, so that they can feel really good about, at the end of the day, having trusted you with their money, but having, in our case, trusted you with their eyes. And for us, it really ladders up to the notion of what a brand value equation is. Brand value equals experience as your numerator and price as your denominator. You can charge a premium price if you deliver an amazing experience. So to use the analogy, not to offend my friends at McDonald's, but if McDonald's all of a sudden decided to raise the price of their hamburgers to $10, you know, I think you'd have an insurrection. But if you went to Morton's or Mastro's or Smith & Wolensky's and you bought a $10 hamburger, it's probably the cheapest thing on the menu, and you'd feel pretty damn good about ordering it, because the experience, not to mention the quality, but the experience in particular, is so elevated that the price you're paying, you still have a positive value equation. You still have a positive fractional equation. And so for us, what we really needed to reinforce with our franchise owners, many of which are doctors, with our corporate associates, is the importance of the how, not just the what. A comprehensive eye exam is pretty standard. And I use that in quotes. And so if any of our doctors are listening, don't send me nasty grams. I know there are variabilities, but for the layman, it's very hard for them to decipher what an eye exam is place to place. What separates is the way in which that patient is treated in the exam lane. You know, the doctor taking the time to ask questions, the doctor taking the time to explain, the doctor taking the time to really guide the patient through the experience, so that when they come out of the exam room with a prescription, now it's about finding their perfect pair. And that's where we try to guide you into what your perfect pair means. We're not trying to sell you a pair of glasses. We're trying to guide you into that perfect pair of frames and that perfect lens, so that you not only can see clearly, but you feel great now seeing 20/20.
You know, I think there's also something interesting with your business that a lot of, you know, businesses have on the franchise level. Like if you think about, you know, like a Subway in the food space, their entire, you know, rollout structure is really about opening up your own Subway and having corporate help you, right? And I think, you know, for someone like you guys, right, you obviously are partnering with franchise owners. And so as a kind of the brand leader and the chief marketing officer, you know, how do you really help them enhance, you know, their stores and elevate their brand positioning, you know, from a corporate level, but kind of disseminating that across all the stores where they run their own business?
Yeah, you know, I think it is the quintessential dynamic of having to listen in order to lead. You know, everybody in business wants to be a leader. You know, you talk to people out of college, oh, I want to be a leader, I want to get promoted. Talk to junior people on your team, oh, I've been with you a year, I want to get promoted. Well, being in a position of leadership actually means you need to lead. And I think for our franchisees, they're paying, you know, 15% of gross dispensing revenue for us to lead them, to generate leads for them, and to help drive their profitability. So there's an expectation that we're going to be a great service provider to them. Service doesn't necessarily mean doing what they want us to do. Service, in many cases, means providing them the expertise that they're paying for to help them see the decisions that are being made with their input, and in some cases on their behalf, are the right decisions for them and the brand, both in the short term and the long term. So it's trying to find that healthy balance, and it and critically, never taking your eye off the ball, that at the end of the day, it's about driving their profitability.
Now, how about from a, you know, basically a brand positioning, right? So thinking about, you know, all of the different, you know, technologies and capabilities that, you know, marketers have access to, right? I think when you joined the brand, you know, you really invigorated that brand, right? And how do you continuously do that as new, you know, technologies are being rolled out? And obviously, you know, being, you're kind of in that borderline of your retail and you're also part healthcare, right? You're kind of like,
yeah,
it's kind of interesting because you're in the middle of both, right? It's not a normal
high-end retail,
yeah,
insurance. You know, you're dealing with the regulations of privacy, but you're dealing with the regulations of HIPAA, which takes it to a different level. So, you know, our brand is about eye care first, but our revenue is really generated through what happens on the retail floor.
Mm-hmm. And some of the cool things you guys are doing, at least from a technology
perspective. Yeah, there's really cool things. So when I joined the business, to make an appointment at ProVision, you had to call. And one of the pieces of innovation that I had the chance to bring to the business was the emphasis on online patient scheduling. Today, over one third of our exams scheduled happen through the ProVision.com portal. That portal connects every single eye care center together. Each one of our eye care centers has both a doctor microsite and a retail microsite. Again, additional bits of innovation that I was able to bring, which super proud of that. You know, online patient scheduling, big one. And then we took online patient scheduling to another level by integrating multi-patient scheduling. So as a parent, we finally motivate you to take the action we want you to take, which is to schedule an eye exam for yourself. And then we prompt you to schedule an eye exam for the rest of the family. So it's an opportunity for us to win the family. We've recently launched our digital measurements platform, which allows you to, when you're getting your glasses fit, to have a more personalized fit. Think like that scene from The Terminator when you're looking at the target through the eyes of the robot. Yeah. And it's all of these micro measurements. You know, a millimeter of fit wrong in your glasses is the difference between seeing clearly and having a massive headache. And so we take that to another level through our digital measurements platform. And then, you know, all of the innovation that we're doing in media, you know, goes so far beyond programmatic. It's heavily geo-targeted. There's a ton of personalization. A lot of that stuff is table stakes these days, but net-net, we try to put the patient at the center of our journey and try to provide them an opportunity where we use technology to enhance the personal experience, not to substitute for actually dealing with people.
Now, if you could think about maybe the most fun aspect of your job, you know, I know 11 years is a long time, but were there any moments where you're like, this is the best ever, or something that you guys created that you're, you know, you won awards for and you just
Yeah. I've been blessed. This role has enabled me to do things and have access to things that I've never even had access before in the course of my career. But I think one of the shining moments for me was the opportunity to, as a tennis geek, to work with Billie Jean King. Billie appeared in one of our ads, an ad called Olivia, that tells the story of a young girl who's struggling with a vision acuity issue, who just happens to really want to be a great tennis player. And to know Billie and learn about her story, that she was a very good tennis player until her coach realized that she was having trouble seeing the ball, and got her a pair of prescription glasses, and that time difference between recognizing the flight of the ball and her stroke, saving that, allowed her to really excel on the court and become the icon that she is today. So I had a chance to work with Billie and get to know her, and spend a fair amount of time with her. And, you know, I'll never forget sitting at Billie Jean King Stadium in Billie Jean King's suite with Billie Jean King. I was like, I don't belong here. Especially when she walked over and gave me a hug and a kiss and knew my name. It was just surreal. But
it's also amazing because you're a tennis freak.
Yeah. I mean, I was completely, completely geeking out.
Yeah.
And, you know, to this day, I still have her contact information. And every once in a while, after a good match or a tournament, I'll shoot her a note and be like, hey, listen, I took your advice and I did this. And I'll get a quick response. Great. I hope you're doing well. Hope to see you soon. So having somebody like that in your cell phone, pretty cool. Never would have imagined it.
talk about like not only a fun project, but, you know, perfectly aligned with who you are as a person too. It's kind of like you get a, it's a double hit, you know what I mean? So Doug, obviously a lot of work over a decade, you know, of programs and building teams and all sorts of fun stuff. And I know you have some news, I think.
Yeah.
So a surprise.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, not that I consider myself the Tom Brady of marketing or the Peyton Manning of marketing, but, you know, Tom Brady spent 2 decades in New England and won a few Super Bowls and then went to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl there. And Peyton Manning spent over a decade in Indianapolis and went to Denver and won a Super Bowl. It's my time to win a Super Bowl somewhere else. And so I'm going to be stepping away from the brand in the coming weeks to really explore my next opportunity to build and join a winning team. What I love nothing more is to make a difference as a leader, to make a difference as a human being. And I'm excited to explore what's next for me, whether that's as a CMO, whether that's as a brand president. I'm not really sure, but I know I have a couple big games left in me and I'm excited to kind of take the field, don a different uniform and see what's out there.
Awesome. Well, I'm happy for you. And I think, you know, it's a true testament on your tenure, just because, you know, I'm sure you've read all these articles, but every year it seems to be that the average tenure in the C-suite when it comes to marketing is like, you know, it's going from 2 to 3 to 1 to 4. Like it's just a few years. And the fact that you've been there for 11 years shows, you know, a lot of grit and strength, and clearly you loved your job. So,
I still love it. I mean, I think, you know, to depart on these terms at this timing for me is the right thing to do. You know, I have an opportunity to wind down some projects that I'm working on to continue to set Pearl Vision up for success in the future. Yeah. But, you know, if you stop growing, you get stale. And part of what I love about the world that we're living in is the opportunity to experience different things. So, you know, I'm excited about where my next home will be. I don't know where it'll be yet or who it will be with, yeah. But I cannot wait to, you know, get back on the field and play this crazy game of marketing and brand building for a different team.
Well, listen, I think it'll be fun for you too to reinvent yourself, right? You obviously, you know, this is your third act, right? You were really focused on fashion and apparel, then you moved into this kind of healthcare / retail, and now it's like, okay, what's your next act, right? So I think that's also a fun way to reinvent yourself as a person too, right? You could do anything.
Build. It's always about evolution. And started out in the agency world, went client side in beauty and in fashion, and then moved into this healthcare services premium. And now what's next? Who knows? But I know it's going to be great and I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, to finish off the show, I've got some quick fire questions for you. We do this with all of our guests. And
okay.
Lighten up the mood a little bit. We talk work and then we kind of learn a little bit more about you.
You got it.
Are you ready?
I think so. Go for it.
First question, Doug. What's the weirdest dream you've ever had?
You know, I once had a dream that I was a farm animal. And like that every single member of my family also was a farm animal, and that we were talking as real people, but in farm animal bodies. I honestly don't know what I drank the night before or ate the night before, but I remember waking up like in a cold sweat, and I can't even tell you what kind of farm animal I was. And I'm certainly not going to tell you what farm animal my wife was, because I want to stay married, yes. But, it was so bizarre. It had to have been something I was watching or something maybe that I ate. Very, very strange. But yeah, that's it.
I love it. I love it. It's actually, that's a really interesting dream when I'm thinking about it now. You should look at a dream analysis on that one.
I don't want to. I really am. I'm afraid. Let's let that one alone.
Yeah. Okay. So next question. Have you ever laughed so hard that you cried? And if you can remember, what was it?
Yeah, not only have I ever laughed so hard that I cried, but I think perhaps even maybe tingled a little bit. And I remember this so vividly. My wife and I, when we lived in the city and my daughter was a baby, we lived in a 2-bedroom apartment on the Upper West Side. And, you know, there really wasn't a lot of places for my daughter to kind of get in trouble in the apartment. And we walked into the living room and my daughter had an entire fist full of dog food. You know how like chubby baby hands? She had chubby baby hands and an entire fistful of dog food and was about to put it in her mouth. And my wife let out such a screech and I literally laughed so hard, I think I peed. I just remember, and she just looked at us like, what's wrong? Like, it's here, it's cool. You know, the dog eats my food. And it just, it's so vivid. I can remember it like yesterday. But yeah, absolutely. I try to find more. I hope I have more of those in my life. I'm sure I do. But that's one that immediately comes to mind.
Are you, have you rotted your brain yet on TikTok?
No, I'm actually not on TikTok.
Okay, that's probably a good thing. But I will say, like, I'm definitely rotting my brain on TikTok. I wish I didn't, but I unfortunately, you know, I travel a lot. So if I'm on the road, it's like, you know, instant entertainment. But there are moments on TikTok where I literally laugh out loud because it's the funniest shit on there, I gotta say. Okay, next question. This kind of goes back to your dream question. So, and the fact that you don't remember what you were is probably good here. But if you could have any animal as a pet, what would it be? Like, you could have any animal in the world.
I think it would either be like a panda or a koala. Because I feel like they're like little human beings trapped in an animal body.
Okay, have you ever seen a red panda?
Yes.
Okay, if you got to follow red pandas on Instagram.
Yeah, they're adorable.
They're the cutest things I've ever seen.
They all look like little chubby babies. They're so cute. So I think a koala or a panda, because I just think if you have something like that in your life, it's impossible to go through a day without smiling.
I know. I mean, I'm with you. I'm totally 100% in agreement. Okay, last question. This is actually one of my favorite questions. I've never asked it before, but this is something that I constantly think of if I had powers. But if you had the ability to fly or you have the ability to be invisible, which one would you choose?
There's a lot of psychoanalysis that goes into that. Honestly, I would say fly. Yeah. And for me, the reason why I choose that is because it's sort of the nature of my competitiveness. Flying would allow me to get further faster on my terms. Invisibility would mean that I'd want to fall into the background, and that's just not how I live my life.
Good answer. Good answer.
That was very deep. Like, I feel like I owe you $99.95 for the therapy session.
Well, Doug, listen, it was awesome having you on the show. And listen, congratulations on the last 11 years and, you know, obviously wishing you all the success on your next endeavor. And it's been an honor to actually have you on the show in your, you know, last few weeks here.
Yeah, you know, they say God has a plan. Let's just hope God has my resume.
He's got you.
I hope so. Thanks, my friend. It was great chatting.
Great chatting with you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.